Morning, everyone. Well, it's been a nice morning so far. Sunshine, it's cool. You cut the air with a knife last week, couldn't you? Wow, it was something. But we're here today. Air conditioning's on. It's great. Let's start with page 541 and let's stand. 541. Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us to come to your house today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe the past week, our daily provision, Lord, everything. Lord, thank you for the song. We have absolutely nothing to fear or worry about, Lord. All we have to do is trust you. We have everything we need, Lord. You're there for us. We have strength in you. Lord, help us to remember you're there in our hearts always. Help us, Lord, to live our lives like you are there inside us, and as we know that you are. Thank you for this time today, Lord. Thanks for the folks that showed up. Be with our pastor, Lord. He's going to be speaking here in a matter of minutes. Lord, I just pray that you give him great strength today, Lord, to deliver your message that would fall on ears that really need to hear you today, Lord. There's folks I know, Lord, had troubles. I just pray, Lord, that if they need to get right with you, they'd get right before they leave the building today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Discouraged and blue, the grace expected again was rejected. Our bills are unpaid and the taxes are due.
Let's see, how about page 377, please? 377.
voice. For risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is able, whatever men may say. I see the hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you. Let's see. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have our book studies here. You ain't involved in that, you ought to. That's pretty good stuff. Personal evangelism, Tuesday, July 12th. Tuesday, July 19th, women's Bible study at 6. Thursday, the 21st, Wilton Bible study at 6. Saturday, July 23rd, men's Bible study, iron sharpens iron, at 9 in the morning. Personal evangelism is going to be Tuesday, July 26th. Next two Wednesday night prayer services, 6th and the 13th, Pastor's going to present Bible teaches on the pledge issue. We will debate the issue as needed until all has been presented. Only biblical support of your position is allowed, so come prepared to present as such. These will be followed with prayer meeting. Pastor's thought for the week, and any entity affected by sin will lack joy in equal proportion. Interesting. Wow. Okay. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take the morning offering, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, what a beautiful day you've given us. The opportunity, Lord, to be here today. Thanks for those that showed up, Lord. Thanks for this great nation we live in, Lord, for the many freedoms. And one of them is here today, Lord, this freedom of speech that we have. Thank you for it. Lord, I ask you to continue to protect it. I know it's under attack. our pastor also. Be with him, Lord. Guide and direct. And then we're going to take up an offering here, Lord. Just a chance to give a small portion back to you. Please be with the gift and the givers we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharon's going to sing for us now.
A friend had asked me to sing a special song this morning, and I had planned on it, but the Lord laid this song on my heart, and now that I see we're doing communion, I think it's very fitting. So please, if God's speaking to your heart, don't turn him away. Patiently, tenderly pleading, Jesus is standing today. At your heart's door, he knocks as before. Oh, turn him no longer away. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. He has come back to your heart again. Although you've gone astray, you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Don't turn the Savior away from your heart. Don't turn him away. Gracious, compassionate mercy brought him from mansions above, caused him to wait just outside your gate. Oh, yield to his wonderful love. Can you not now hear him calling? Do not ill-treat such a friend. Give up your sin, oh, let him come in. Oh, he will be true to the end. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. He has come back to your heart again. Although you've gone astray, oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Don't Don't turn the Savior away from your heart. Don't turn him away. Now is the time to receive him. Grant him admission today. Grieve him no more, but open your door and turn him no longer away. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. He has come back to your heart again, although you've gone astray. Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Don't turn the Savior away from your heart. Don't turn him away.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you so much, Sharon. You know, that's a good thing to think about today. Today is another day where we have a choice. And the further we separate ourselves from God, the harder it is to get back close to Him. But He never takes away that opportunity, and it's there yet today. Don't turn Him away. Draw closer to the Lord Jesus. Welcome to one and all. We're glad to see a nice group out this morning here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We are here for a worship service. Worship means to bow down. I trust today that we will not have our hearts raised up before the Lord, but that they will indeed be bowed in honor of Him and the God of the Bible and the work that Jesus Christ has done. Today we are going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to begin to do that in our morning services. And so this is a memorial service where we recall vividly what Christ has done in His body and His blood for those who will place their faith and trust in Him. He died for the sins of the whole world. And so as we anticipate a message and then going into the Lord's Supper, let's turn in our hymnals, or it's on the screen, to 694 as we recall to mind what the Lord Jesus has done for us. I gave my life for thee. 694. Excuse me. That's okay. You know, this is the Lord's church, and it is a learning experience. And we are faulty humans here operating under the grace of God. 694. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory-circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. What hast thou left? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee. Tongue can tell of bitterest agony. To rescue thee from hell, I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? As I said earlier, this is a time to bow before the Lord and a time to give Him praise and honor, worship and glory, for He is due every bit of it and more. Once again, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will have a part one of a message this morning before we go to the Lord's table. And the text for this morning is found in Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. This morning before we go to prayer, and by the way, the title of our message is Hope Combined with Growth. Hope Combined with Growth, the Path Forward for the Believer. This is what God wants you and I as believers to be involved in. And we'll be talking about that in a few areas this morning before we go to communion. But before we do, we need to have a time of prayer. Now, Teresa has come to me this morning, and some of you got the prayer chain request earlier. There was a death in her family, in the Leah Finley family. And this would be a nephew of yours, correct, Teresa, that died? A cousin working on the railroad in the heat. And so be in prayer for that family. We know that death is not something that the human was wired for. And that's a very hard thing to understand when we lose a loved one, especially when it's someone that is younger in life. But we thank you for eternal life that's been provided for the Lord Jesus. So please be in prayer for that family this morning. Let's go to prayer and we'll begin. Father, we thank you today for the gathering of the church. Lord, this is your church. It's your called out ones, and I thank you, Lord, for the witness and the network that we have in your church. Lord, it is a thing that is based on love, first of all, for your love for us, but also, Lord, on our love for you and our acknowledgement that you have touched us with your love and called us. Lord, the church nominally is a gathering place for believers, but we also understand, Lord, and thank you, that at times there may be those that are wondering about you. And they know that the church is the place to come, along with going to believers to find out what you are all about. We thank you for your word, which we hold high in the gathering of the church. And so today, Lord, I pray that you would use the effects here today of the preaching of the word and the activity of the Holy Spirit. And as we commemorate what you have done for us on Calvary's cross, that there might be a movement, Lord. We pray for our community today. We pray for our families, our loved ones, many that may not know you. There could be people in this group this morning that is here that do not know you personally as Lord and Savior. I pray today, Lord, that you would call out those that need you, and Lord, that you would help those of us that do know you to have a deeper and closer walk with you. Now, Lord, I do want to just bring again the family here, Lord, the Finley family, and the loss of their loved one. And Father, I pray that this life will not have gone in vain, that the gospel will be brought forth, and Lord, that people will again have that opportunity to make a decision for you this day. And I thank you for Sharon's song this morning, Lord, that you still are waiting for us to make the right choice. And Father, you're a patient, benevolent God. I pray that mercy and grace would be extended today. And Lord, that you would again work in the lives of those here and those that we're missing today. And we just ask these things now, Lord, and we pray them. Father, I need your help today like none other. And I am weak, but you are strong. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help me today to illustrate the great hope that we have in you from your precious word. Now I ask these things, pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, our time that we have together this morning is labeled morning worship. I've preached on worship. The Bible has a lot to say in the past, but it's simply stated, it's bowing down. It's acknowledging, once again, our awe of you and the sufficiency of you and your Son, O Lord. And so today, I pray that our hearts would bow before you, that we truly would have a heart that brings you honor and glory. That's what worship is about. It's about bowing our hearts before God. So may we bow before Him this day and contemplate as believers where we go from here on the path forward with God. This is something that I've been impressed upon by God's Word, that God has a forward-moving program. I've mentioned this several times. I don't want to belabor it. There is a reason and there is a purpose for looking into the past. But the purpose is to go forward because of the things that we've learned from it. God's program is not going to turn back. It's going to go forward. Are you on the train, so to speak, moving forward with God? And am I? So where we go from here on this path is an important thing. And God has a reason for us to be joyful. Now, I've been accused, and probably rightly so over the years, of being a negative preacher. But you know, there are things in the Bible that we have to look at seriously. And they are not all things that surround good things because of our sin and the message that God has about sin. He wants us, though, to have a perspective of hope and joy and growth as we continue down the path of our walk as a new life in Jesus Christ. And I want to present that this morning as best that I can here from the book of Romans. Well, we have several types of listeners here today. Where we go on this path forward with God, whether we be a newly born again believer or one who has walked the path with Jesus a long time. And we also may have today, I don't know, but if you are here today and have never experienced regeneration, new life in Christ, please consider a new path forward by being born again, by placing your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who loves you and came to free you from the bondage and the corruption of sin to freedom and hope. When we come to know Christ as Savior, it's like a refreshing cool breeze after a long, dry, hot spell. Do you have that in your life today? Or is your life bogged down with misery and woe? Now that can happen in the Christian's life, but that's a temporary thing. But apart from Jesus Christ, you will not have that refreshing, cool drink of water that Jesus is. He's the living water, and we need that today. If you're looking for that today, come to Him today. He offers you peace and rest and forgiveness. He paid the penalty of death on Calvary's cross, and He rose to guarantee us new life and a future forward of hope versus despair and destruction. So God's plan and desire as we bow before Him today is a path of hope combined with growth for His children. And that's simply said. And to that I say, may Jesus be praised.
Amen.
He has a great future for us, folks. And what we're experiencing now, there are good things mingled with bad. But what Jesus has planned for those that have placed their faith and trust in Him is good and exciting, wonderful things for all eternity. Do you have that in your life today? Do I have that in my life? Well, today the Spirit led me to Romans chapter 8 as I prepared this week. I admit to you today, I'm struggling before you today. Today is a day that is changing a little here at the church. And, you know, the church is a rough place. It can be a rough and tumble place. And I don't deal well with those kind of things. So I'm up here today totally under the control of the Holy Spirit, asking Him to bless this message. But I'll tell you what, folks, for all the little sidetracks that we can get on in a church or that we can get on in our life, God has good things for us. And the best thing of all of it is we have hope.
Amen.
Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And apart from Jesus Christ, no matter what the situation may be, temporally, eternally, the future is bleak. And eternal judgment and destruction awaits the unbeliever. Please consider that today if you are here apart from Jesus Christ. You can deny what the Bible says, but it's worth taking a look at. And I want to tell you something, folks. It is the only thing that offers eternal hope. All the other ways that are presented are reliant upon you doing something to see a path of eternal bliss and glory. Biblical Christianity says it's all been done for you in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You better look it over carefully. Well, this is going to be mainly stump preaching this morning, but here's the first point and the only point for this morning. We'll have to come back next week, but it's just going to be old Pastor John letting her go right from the scriptures this morning. But here's the first point: hope for the future because of our deliverance in Christ through the transforming power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something, folks. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we're given a down payment. We're given a, it's called the earnest of the Spirit. If you buy a piece of property on credit, you've got to put up some kind of collateral. Or some kind of, it's called a promissory note. I've signed a few of those in my life. Maybe you have too. But I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't just give lip service. He paid the price on the cross, but he even went further than that because he gave us the Holy Spirit. And you know today, if you have the Holy Spirit, it's not a wonderant. If you're born again in Christ, you have him. He's active as far as you'll let him be. That's up to you. But it's the word dunamis, folks, just like the word of God. You know, it's dynamic, dynamite. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what makes a difference. If you're dead in your walk with Jesus Christ, you've quenched the Spirit. I'm going to give you reasons this morning. They're not my reasons, but they're reasons from the Scripture why we ought to be fired up wherever we're at, and why if you're not on the path with Jesus Christ, you better get onto it. Because there's a lot of reasons, folks, to have hope. There's every reason to have hope. I know I'm not supposed to put my finger up and point at people, right? That's not kind. Anyway, by the way, I do love you folks. I get a little riled up at times. And yesterday we mowed the cemetery after we were done with men's Bible study. We finished up about 9 o'clock last night. We made two trips to Muscatine. One trip when I lost a lock nut on one of the wheels on the mower. And a second trip when I discovered that I left the chain on the trailer and lost it. So we went along, Kim diligently looking. Where is Kim this morning? Oh, there she is. Kim and I diligently looking for the chain. We never found it, but someone acquired a nice chain yesterday. So I'm getting forgetful. But may I never forget what Jesus has done for me. May you never forget what Jesus has done for you. Romans chapter 8. You know, Paul told it like it is. He was a wretched man. Isn't that what he said here? Yep. Oh, wretched man, he said in verse 24 of the previous chapter, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'll tell you who it'll be. It's Jesus, who it is. He's the only way. He's the only answer. But I take us along, and Paul talks about that. He's talking about sin. He's talking about freedom. He's talking about the law, the flesh. By the way, if you're living in the flesh today, you're living in bondage. The Spirit frees us from the prison. He'll keep us free from bondage. But here's one of the most precious verses in the Bible. By the way, there's probably 50 of them that are very precious, but this is one here. Because this is the good stuff. This is why there's hope for every one of us in this room. Because Paul writes, there is therefore now no condemnation. Judgment. You see, Jesus went to the cross because of our sin. He didn't go for his sin. He could not have sinned, but he became sin who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took our sin upon him on Calvary's cross. He took God's judgment on Calvary's cross. By the way, our sin, according to the Bible, is worthy of death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. Our sin will cause every person in this room someday to die, apart from them going in the rapture or translation of the church, including two people that the Bible records have never died, that being Enoch and Elijah. But the Bible says they too will die. They're very likely the two witnesses of the tribulation. and they're going to be slain for their faith, for preaching in the tribulation. They will die, and the Bible says they will rise again. God never wanted death, but man chose it. That's one thing, physical death, eternal death. That's the one you better watch out for. The one when we die, when we live death under judgment in hell. But Paul says there is now for no more what? Condemnation. Judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit is what sets you free. The Holy Spirit of God. These are verses that ought to get us fired up. This verse alone is enough today, and probably that's about as far as we'll get, because I'm going to have to quit here in a few minutes for the Lord's table. But you know what? This is enough of a verse right here, if we knew nothing else, that we ought to just be rejoicing and praising God. We ought to be bowing to Him in worship this morning and saying, "Thank you, Lord." There's nothing I could have done of my own volition to earn this. The Son of God had to come and earn it for us on Calvary's cross. Let's get excited about that, folks. Who cares? Well, I don't mean that. But I do care about what's coming in the future and some of the tragic events that are coming. But I'm telling you what, I have my freedom in Jesus Christ. He paid the price for me. I am a person of hope. You can have that hope too if you do not have it today. Paul goes on here. He adds to his argument. You know, Paul's like an attorney. Paul's writings through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are rock solid. He's like the ultimate attorney. By the way, Jesus is the ultimate attorney. But what Paul brings us to a point of is he's giving us certainty that Jesus has won our case. The arguments are there. They're rock solid. They're airtight. The jury cannot debate this one. It's a done deal in Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us now, he says, you know, once you have been saved, once you have been born again, you're under a different operation. Prior to being saved, you're under the law. Your salvation is based on what you do to keep the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the law in our place. And now Paul says, you're under the law of the Spirit. Boy, I'm thankful for that today, aren't you? Because I can't keep the law. Yeah, this is the preacher talking here. I can't keep the law. I've broken the law this morning. I've broken the law by my mere existence because I exist in the flesh. And after the fall of man, I'm defective and I'm deficient. At the very least, I haven't brought God the honor and glory He deserves in my flesh. We cannot keep the law. But what Paul says there in verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We're convicted under the law of sin and death. We're made free through the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Amen, Larry. Let's be excited about this today. By the way, the church is not supposed to be some humdrum. We're not here for a funeral service today. Are we? You're going to hear more about that when I get to the Lord's table, which I'm going to have to go here in a minute. Paul gives us more of these arguments. He says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh." If you're living today in the flesh, you're living in weakness. You're living in vulnerability. Sure, we're here in the flesh, but folks, if our heart is yielded to the Spirit of God, we are no longer living a defeated life. We're living an invigorated, victorious life. He says, "It was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Jesus came to take our place so we can throw off this garbage of the flesh and be led by the Spirit. Freedom! By the way, we ought to celebrate a freedom day for the freedom in Christ. It's called Sunday. It's called Monday. It's called Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every day is the Lord's day. He's the one that deserves the honor and glory. He has set us free in His Son Christ. If you're not free today, the Bible says you can be free indeed. It's one call away. Paul says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us or lived out. You see, that's what the Spirit does. He causes us to live the law out automatically. He guides us and directs us. He's God's internal gyroscope. He keeps us on track. And you know what? What we could not do in the flesh through the power of the Spirit, we can live. We can grow. And that's the second point of this thing. God wants the believer to grow. And you will grow if you yield to the Spirit. He says it would be fulfilled or lived out in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, the clock has gotten away from me again here this morning. This may be a three-part message. I have a lot to say because the Bible has a lot to say, but I want to leave us with this before we go to communion and we'll come back to it. But go to verse 25. This is the end of my rant for the first part of this message this morning. Because even though we are in the Spirit and we do our best to yield to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we're still in a battle. Yes. And Satan wants to see the Christian defeated. He wants us to be in despair. But let me assure you, folks, the Lord Jesus will not allow that to happen if we yield to Him. And I want to just give it, because I'd like to preach this whole first part today. I can't do it, but go to verse 25 about hope, okay? Because this is what this first portion of this message is about, hope, in case I didn't get that across. But Paul writes, he says, "But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." You know what, folks? What Paul's telling us here and telling you and I today, if you're a believer in this room, is he's saying, and this is my term, hang in there with God and see what He's going to do. The book isn't closed. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He says, keep the walk going. See what God's going to do. He's a God of all possibilities and all miracles. Don't get into despair, but continue to be grounded in the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Even though I couldn't preach the rest of this message, that's what it's all about. Do you have that hope today? I'm going to read the conclusion, though, before we go to communion. In conclusion, hope, and I wanted to preach. Do you think I could have preached this message in even 2 hours? Probably not. In conclusion, hope combined with growth, we haven't even looked at that yet, is the path the Lord has set for His children. Up. Three things to consider today. If you are truly on the path, stay on it and enjoy and grow. If you have or are wavering, get reconnected because of the hope and the help that is offered to you. And thirdly, if you have never considered Jesus as your pathway, come to Him if He is calling you today. Don't resist Him. There's a reason why He's calling you today. Trust His promises for you, for and to you, and be saved, born into His family and into the family of hope. That's why we're going to celebrate today Christ's work on the cross. Men, if you'd come forward at this time, we'll do our best to get this done. This is a new thing at Fruitland. Over the years that I've been here, we used to have communion on Wednesday nights. Then we, as a congregation, decided to move it to Sunday nights. And now the congregation has decided to move it to Sunday morning. If this doesn't work out, then we'll have it any day, because every day is the Lord's day. But I welcome you to this today. By the way, there's just a few things I need to say before we participate in this service. And this is a memorial. One of the first things I want to mention today here at Fruitland, if you're new to communion here, or maybe visiting with us today, and by the way, we're glad for visitors. But what we do at Fruitland, I believe, is biblical. And what we practice here is close communion. I did not say close communion. I said close communion. Under the guidance of the inspired hand of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what Paul, in a nutshell, told the church at Corinth, which was a total mess. He said, be careful about how you participate in this memorial service. If you are not born again, it's a blasphemous thing to participate in this. If your sins have not been brought to the throne, and if our sins have not been brought to one another, if you hold something against someone else, I have to paraphrase here because of time, but what Paul says is, there's people at Corinth that were dying because they participated in this unworthily. This is the day, rather than partake of these elements, to go to Jesus. Or to go to, it's not wrong to pass this by. Secondly, this has no salvational effect whatsoever. It is simply, again, a representative of what Christ did for us, a reminder, an icon. The bread, being unleavened bread, symbolizing the sinless body of Christ. The blood, again, being fruit of the vine, unleavened, representing the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what have I forgotten to say this morning? Read 1 Corinthians 11. There's a lot in there to look at. But once again, this is not a sacrament. This will not save you. Okay? But it is a reminder, because Jesus told his disciples the night before he was betrayed and went to the cross, he says, continue to do this as often as you drink or eat in remembrance of me. It's a memorial service, folks. Nothing more, nothing less. By the way, it is not less. It's important. We can think about this every time we eat. So with that in mind, by the way, there's no communion police here at Fruitland. You and the Lord are on this one. No one's going to be watching you. Whether you take it, you don't take it, we are not here to judge. This is a time for you to judge yourself. It's a better time here to ask God to forgive your sins or go to someone and ask to be forgiven than to worry about what other people are doing or to worry about taking this. But if your heart is clean and you're not receiving this unworthily, it's a great reminder of Jesus. And that's the key. Now, at the close of this service, we're going to do something that's a little different. Some of you regular communion people here at Fruitland know that we've done some things differently here lately. We're not off the deep end, but I believe it has a purpose, and we'll see that shortly. But today, I'm going to ask Lonnie if he would thank the Lord for placing himself, his body, on that tree, the cross of Calvary, for God the Father sending him, and he willingly bearing the sins. And you think about that. Do some math on this. Jesus died for every sinner in this world. You wonder why he was in agony. We don't know what agony is. I cut the end of my fingertip of it off of the grinder here a week or so ago. And every time I bump it. But let me tell you, what would that be like to bear the agony for the sins of the whole? You know, we know already billions and billions of people. And as the Lord tarries, more people. He died for everyone. His body bore their sins. He was broken on the tree as the sinless one for us who are the sinners. Lonnie, would you thank him for that?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can be here today and remember what your Son did for us. And Lord, most importantly, is what you did for us through your Son. Father, you knew that there was no way that we could ever come to heaven without the sacrifice you made for your Son. Thank you, Lord. All that our Jesus went through, the trials, Lord, the beatings he took, hang on that cross, Lord. His blood was shed for us, Lord. It is his blood truly saves us from our sin, Lord. And we thank you so much for it, that he was willing and able to do that. Today, Lord, we have bread and a cup, Lord, to take. Represent his body and blood. Lord, help us to examine ourselves and know what we're doing today, Lord. It's a time of joy, Lord. It's a time of introspect, Lord. We're looking at our own hearts and knowing what's going on. Thanks so much for this time. and Lord, be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Paul records in 1 Corinthians 11 what took place in the upper room as Jesus communed with his disciples and introduced the idea again of representation of what he had done as a vivid reminder. And when he had given thanks, that's Jesus, he broke it. He symbolically broke the bread, symbolizing his broken body as he bore the sins of the world. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. And at this time, I'm going to ask Jason if he would thank the Lord Jesus once again for shedding his sinless, precious blood to cover or to atone for our sins, our dirty sins. Again, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It goes right back to the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve fell, God had to shed blood to provide a covering, coat, for Adam and Eve. Jason, would you thank him for that? And thank our Heavenly Father for sending him. It's the only reason we have hope today at all, through the blood.
Oh, Lord, our Father, thank you, God, again, for this opportunity to gather here, Lord, and to celebrate what you have done for us, Lord, and to remember. And we thank you, God, for your body that was broken for us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, for the blood that was shed, Lord, and that covers us completely so that you no longer see our sin. We thank you, God, for the forgiveness that you have given each and every person that comes to you and asks for that free gift, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you help us to receive it. Help us to receive it, Lord, with joy. And
yes.
We do sometimes treat this as a solemn thing, Lord, but this is a very joyful time.
Yes.
And we thank you, God, so much for all your love and compassion for us, God, that you did this for us when we didn't deserve it, when we were your enemies, Lord, that you gave yourself for us, that we could be your children. Thank you, Lord, again, for your love. Jesus.
Amen. Again, this morning, this is a little unusual for us yet as we develop this new opportunity. Our closing of the service will be a little different than normal. But I just want to say at this time, if you need the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, the answers are in this book. And I will greet you at the back door, but if you have a need today, I'll be glad to come and pray with you or counsel with you out of the Word of God. There's others that will too following this service. But this is a wonderful thing yet again to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament or the New Agreement or Covenant in my blood." Our salvation is guaranteed through the blood of Christ. By the way, there's no defective warranties through Jesus. The guarantees are good. "Do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, normally here we don't have this large of a group. I'm thankful for a large group. But if you're in fellowship with the Lord, let's do our best to gather in the center aisle. We're going to close a little differently than we used to. I've done some research into the hymn that was sung after those suppers that Jesus had with his disciples. I'm not a great singer, but at the end of this, we're going to do our best to sing the last chorus of this. It's scripture. It's called the Great Hallel. Does anyone know what Hallel means in the Hebrew? Praise. The great praise. This is a part that's known in Jewish tradition as the Haggadah. I've investigated this with history from rabbis. And this is believed to be what they sang, the great Hallel, after that meal there in the upper room. I'm going to ask you to join in on the last verse of this. This is actually the great Hallel is Psalm 118, 22 through 24. I'm going to attempt to sing to you these two verses. We're going to work on that. We have been, haven't we, for those of us that have been in the evening communion. But here it is. This is the great praise, and it is a praise. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." By the way, this has come from the book of Psalms. This is Jesus, the chief cornerstone of the church. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Amen. And let's sing together. "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made." Let's pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace both now and forevermore. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you, folks. It's...